Today's parashat is Va'etchanan. Va'etchanan is the Torah portion that my daughter did her bat mitzvah on. She was unique in the congregation. She was the first one to actually do the entire seventh aliyah. So she didn't do just the maftir, which is the last three verses. She did the whole seventh section. This is a large portion. It starts in Deuteronomy 3 and it goes to Deuteronomy 6, all of 6. So she did that entire portion. And my daughter used to be the one that did this. And you couldn't get her to say anything. So for a year and a half, we brought her, bring it to the front to say her scripture that she had memorized. And sit her there, do your scripture. Nothing. So one day she opened up and said the scripture on her bat mitzvah. She really opened up. She preached for 2.5 hours. My little daughter, you know, she preached for 2.5 hours. We're all like looking at each other like, wow. So it's special. And I thought that there were some very special things that you would get from even from the very few verses of this parashat. And I entitled it, Let Your Yes Be Yes and Your No Be No. This is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. In the NCB, it says, But let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this come from the evil one. So this parashat, Va'etchanan, Moses pleads with Adonai to let him enter the promised land. So Moses, like the rest of us, often are faced with choices we've made and decisions we've made and things we've done that we would like to take back. Right? We'd like to take them back. We want to undo those mistakes of the past. You heard the expression, water under the bridge? What did Adonai say? This is Moses now. This is not Tony or Sam or Joe or Harlan or this is the guy. This is the guy, the leader of Israel. And it's only a week or so and they're going to enter the promised land. And when he gets to smell it, it's like when the bread starts to get ready, right? You smell that bread. Isn't like my wife takes it out and I want to go get on it right away. And she said, no, if you touch it, it'll fall or it won't do right. Right? And so you have to let it sit, right? And I'm like, but I want it hot. I said, you get it hot, just don't mess with it. Okay? So Moses, he could smell the bread. And he wants to eat the bread. He can smell the promised land. And he wants to be there. In last week's parashat, 2 weeks ago actually, Moses also asked. And Adonai said no. He repeated what he said before. In fact, here's what it says in the Hebrew. Adonai's response was this. Rav lecha. Rav lecha. What does that mean? Too much. Okay? Listen, it's sufficient for you. Like, now, we could have said in our day, enough. Or we could have said, don't tell me again. Right? Have you had a child that asks you and asks you and asks you, and you say at some point, say, don't tell me again. You tell me one more time, I'm going to hit you or do something. No. That kind of hitting, I'm not an advocate of any violence. But you know, it just takes a little bit. That's all you had to do with my daughter. Et cetera, okay? That's all God has to do with us. We do. We see that with Adonai, with Yeshua's father, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a yes is a yes, and a no is a no. A yes is a yes, and a no is a no. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not fickle, and he's not vague, and he does not change. It is written in Malachi 3:6, for I am Adonai, I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, and I do not change. So, should he ever change? We want to be, in Puerto Rico you say, ay bendito. Okay, ay bendito, por favor, please, Lord, change your mind. It's Moses. I'm doing better. I haven't lost my temper since that time, since Numbers 21. But when Adonai speaks, it's done. And we can trust that what he said, he means what he said, and he says what he means. Messiah Yeshua reminded us about this very thing that I read in Matthew 5:37. But he's saying to us now, we need to be like Adonai and let our yes be yes and our no be no. Ooh, that's good medicine for us. Open up the red stuff. Because we need it. Now, I shared earlier, but I have it written down. So if you look at the message we just published in PDF form, Vayet Hanan is called a Vav Conversive. A Vav Conversive is where a phrase in Hebrew begins with Va, the Vav, which is read as Ve, which means and. Okay? So it's a Vav Conversive in that they're joined together. The Vav becomes part of the word. And then what follows this Hebrew construction is a beginning Vav and a future tense verb. So you've heard that when we hear Vaidaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. Vaidaber. How do you translate that? And whoever it is, which comes after the conversive, spoke. And someone spoke. In Hebrew, it's not like English, that you have the subject, then the verb, then the object. Okay, that's English. That's not how, in Spanish, it's more or less that way. But in Hebrew, it's not. In Hebrew, the verb is given. The action is given first, because the action is the most important. Please note that. That in Hebrew, the verb is given first. But in this conversive, you can translate it as, and daver is to speak. And somebody will speak. And he will speak, or he spoke to us. In our case, we have the future command tense of a derivative of Hanan. The verb is Hanan. And the construction here is et Hanan. The Davka writer, Hebrew word processor, translated as to plead or to beseech. Okay? And it has in parentheses, I future. In other words, it's a continual. It's from here on out. It's like, it's not like you ask once, but it's more like what my children, when they ask, that, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. You wait 5 minutes. Dad, are we there yet? You wait 5 more minutes. Dad, are we there yet? Right? You're familiar with that. This is Strong's 2603. Hanan. The verb. The primitive verb, primitive root, which means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. It also means to favor. To favor. Ooh, that's important. This is getting exciting now. To bestow or causatively to implore, which is what the translation is here. In other words, to move to favor by petition. It is translated in the King James Version as merciful, to have mercy on us or by us, to have pity, to make supplication. Okay? According to Wikipedia, the name of John Davis, John's name, John, our elder back there, John is the English form of Johannes, the Latin form of the Greek name Ioannis, or Ioannis. It's derived from the Hebrew name Yohanan, which is John's name, John the Baptist's name. Yohanan, which means the Yod there is a Yud that is associated with God. So God, Hanan, looks at me favorably. So, or we can say is gracious, shows grace. So John's name means Adonai is gracious. It also is my son's name, Ian. Ian is the derivative of John in a part of the world, England and so on. And so it was translated. We liked the name, and then we'd say, well, what does it mean? We got a little plaque that said, God is gracious. In other words, God gave us a gracious gift in my son. That's why we wanted to name him that. And John's mother also thought the same thing about him. Clearly, she was right. God's being gracious to John, and he is a gracious, wonderful person among us. Therefore, what happens here is Va'et Hanan Moshe. That's how it begins. Va'et Hanan means, and someone pleaded. Who's the someone doing the pleading? Moshe. And Moshe pleaded. Or he made a supplication. Or he implored. Or he entreated Adonai to change his mind. Look, all of that is in that word. He made supplication. He implored. He entreated Adonai. So he's not going there like this. He's going there like, please. No, in English we'd say, please, please. But the answer remains a steadfast no, which was the answer that he gave in Numbers 21, 20 and 21. I want to ask you the following question. If Moses, the meekest man on the earth, according to the Torah, if Moses could not get Adonai to change his mind, what are your chances? What are your chances? See, this is good medicine for us. Because we really are not going to be able to get Adonai to change his mind. Because he changes not, right? He changes not. He can choose to show mercy. That's up to him. But in terms of changing his mind, showing mercy doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're not guilty of whatever it was. It just means that he did away with the sentence and gave you something good. A lot of us have sown not so great things. And sometimes we get this idea that our God is an ay bendito God. Come on now. It's all love, Yeshua. And so we focus on the love, not realizing that with Adonai, in perfect balance, there's love, there's justice, there's mercy. All those things are in perfect balance with him. I don't have that. I'm a human. I don't have that. I pray for that, but I don't have it. Our society does not like binary. That means one or zero, yes or no, true or false, binary. Doesn't like binary absolutes. We live in a society that does not like binary absolutes. I want you to know that Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is 100% good. 100% good. Binary, yes. One, good. But the evil one is 100% evil. 100% zero, okay? 100, there is no point one or point. No, no. The evil one is 100% evil, and the Lord is 100% good. That means that there's no possibility or situation where Satan is good. Let me say that again. There's no possibility or situation where Satan is good. So to think that the things that are satanic that are happening in our country right now and things like that, that somehow that's okay. It's wrong. Look, it's wrong. Murder is wrong. The commandment is do not murder. It doesn't say do not kill. It actually in the Hebrew says do not murder. Don't you think babies are murdered? Is there any opportunity for Adonai to accept the murdering, say what it is, of children? Is there any possibility for Adonai to be enthralled with idolatry? But we are different. We tend to vacillate. We tend to vacillate in our dealings with each other, especially, and try to impute on the spiritual world fickleness. The spiritual world is not fickle. The spiritual world is not fickle. You've heard the statement, you can't get blood out of a turnip, right? You've heard that. You cannot get any evil out of a 100% good God, and you cannot get any good out of a 100% evil Satan. You can't. But at the same time, you cannot get any evil out of perfect goodness. How much light does it take to disperse darkness? Now, does the light destroy the darkness? It really does. And the more the light, the more the destruction is obvious to us. But even you need a bit. You need a little bit. And you can see. In other words, the smallest light eliminates darkness. Imagine an infinite light like Adonai, our God. Let that sink in for a moment. Let me say, our Messiah is 100% good all the time. And his Father is 100% good all the time. How often? All the time. Is it just a saying? No, it's the truth all the time. I share as the Lord gives me. What caused Moses to lose the promised land? Anger. Moses got angry, hit the rock instead of spoke to the rock. And the Lord said, you have dishonored me in front of the children of Israel. Shall we draw water out of this rock? When the Lord said, yes, just speak to it. Well, he beat it. Okay. Now that was okay in Exodus. It was okay in Exodus because he said, strike the rock. But listen, the Lord doesn't always tell us the same thing all the time. So sometimes he can tell us to strike the rock, and sometimes he tells us to speak to the rock. And if we just use old time You liked that yesteryear, and don't pay attention to what he's saying now. You can go ahead and say, well, you liked it before, you have to like it now. Moses lost his ability to outlive the grumbling and complaining generation of Numbers 14. Go back and read that sometime. And the following will be true. Adonai says, all of this generation will die, except Joshua and Caleb. If I'd have been Moses, and I said, hang on a second, am I included here? Didn't you think that Moses was included when you read that? Isn't that interesting that Moses is not included, but it's by context we think that he's included. But the fact is, Adonai knows what he's going to do in the future, so he doesn't include Moses. And Moses is going to die with that generation. How about that? How about that for a moment? You see, when the Lord said only Joshua and Caleb would enter the promised land, here it is, the actual entering the promised land, and only Joshua and Caleb. Not Moses, not Aaron, no, nobody. Did he mean what he said? You see, the meekest man in the Torah died with the grumblers. The grumbler generation. Moses wasn't a grumbler, was he? He was a great leader. What got him to be judged with the grumblers? One thing, anger. I want to ask you again. I'm harping on this because the Lord's harping on me on it. You and I better realize that anger can cause us to lose our inheritance. Does it seem fair? This guy led for 40 years. He had to hear all this stuff, go through it all. He gets to the edge and he can't go in because of anger. How different would it be for you? Oh no, my anger is not that bad. The one thing is true about drug addicts is they don't think they have an addiction. And drunks don't think that they have an addiction either. And people that get angry don't think they get angry. This is such an important thing for us. I'm going to give you scripture in just a minute. To me, this is sobering. This is a sobering reality. Do you think that there could be a greater consequence to anger than losing the entry onto the promised land? This should motivate us to get rid of anger. To put it aside, to get rid of it. The Bible has something to say about it. The Apostle Paul said the following. Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, read it. Thieves, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, and the swindlers. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the deal. That is what some of you were in the past. But now you're washed. You've been made holy. You were set right in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and by the Ruach of our God. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. In other words, because the Holy Spirit is here with us. Because Yeshua died on the cross for us, we have something Moses didn't have. We have the ability for the Lord to forgive. But there's a caveat. Forgive me as the same manner that I forgive Joe. Now, Joe hasn't done anything to me, but if he did, I mean, if he called me a dead dog or called me a spick or something, because he's from New York, say, well, they Puerto Ricans are called spick. He could do whatever he wants to say. It's up to me, to forgive Joe. Because I want the same deal from him. Look, be intentional. We've got to forgive, because if we don't forgive, how is he going to forgive us? And some of us have train loads of garbage back there we're dragging still. The King James Version states that list right there as following. Be not deceived. This is the King James Version of that. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. It's in there. It's in the King James Version. Come on. It's there. Abusers of themselves. How is that? Well, some sexual things are just to my own self. They don't involve anybody, we say. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers or extortioners. The word revilers, what is that? What is in your mind when you hear the word reviler? Don't you imagine Oscar the Grouch? Which is what we turn into when we get angry. We become Oscar the Grouch, but at the maximum. And we think it's okay. You know, it's me. I don't mean it. Oh, really? You know, the receiver, that's why you don't mean it. Let me give you the following. Drunkards are substance abusers, aren't they? But slanderers are verbal abusers. Abusers nonetheless. Verbal abuse is more often than not a consequence of anger. This is the problem with anger or being angry. Is that what follows when you lose it, right? We tell the kids, don't make me mad. Why do we say that? If you make me mad, right? And then if you let that go too much, thank goodness there's two people in the home, because the wife will go, oh yeah, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to pick him up and kiss them. Here's what Paul stated. So lay aside lying, and each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Verse 26, this is chapter 4 of Ephesians. Be angry, yet do not sin. How can you be angry and not sin? Yeah. Kim, go ahead. Demonstrate to them. Zip it. El Zippo. Zip it. Say nothing. Don't go there. Don't go there. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So guess what? Going to bed angry is not good. Even though there might be nobody in your bed but you and the pillow. You can go ahead and rah, 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 the pillow, right? Nor give the devil a foothold. That's called a jurisdiction. And I spoke about that 4 weeks ago. In your soul. That's Ephesians 4:25 through 27. But that's not where it ends. It doesn't stop there. Everybody thinks it stopped there. Everybody thinks, well, don't give any, you know, don't give any foothold to the enemy. And it stops there. So don't go to bed angry. That's all I have to do. If I get angry, I just need to repent. That's the idea. Well, as long as you repent, it's okay. And as long as you repent before you go to bed, that's okay. But you got to keep reading. Keep reading. Look what he said. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and quarreling. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and quarreling. In other words, all forms of anger. And slander along with malice. Instead, my favorite scripture, just about. I can sing it. Instead, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Poop, 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 be-doo. Ephesians 4:32. Who's a poop, poop, be-doo person? It's a cartoon. Betty Boop! Actually, Marilyn Monroe sang that in a famous movie. She did. I had the clip. It's not fit to see because she's not fully dressed. She's wearing clothes, but she's not fully dressed. Sing it with me. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Poop, 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 be-doo. Ephesians 4:32. I'm almost done. In Titus 3:9, Paul said, to avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes because they are unprofitable and useless. Strife is what also occurs when there's anger. It becomes a strife situation. I think that's good medicine. Don't you? Amen. That's it.